Well, welcome to our segment two, and this is where we do our Bible study, as you just heard. So we are ready to open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Amy. Today we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we get to see what was really going on in Hannah's heart when she handed her son, her precious Samuel, over to Eli to be raised in the temple. So, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and brings life. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. What a song, huh? Can you feel Hannah's joy? Can you see her stress melting away in this prayer, in this song? All the things that were pent up inside, she can see God's hand in healing. All her woes and all her hurts are gathered in his mighty hand, and she rejoices in him, in his work in her life, and in his working in the world around her. Hannah's supreme source of joy is in God, not the child he gave her. Her joy is in her answered prayer and seeing God's hand in her life. Samuel was that answer, but she sees where her joy comes from and she claims that joy. Perhaps that is why she was able to give Samuel back to him. She didn't see Samuel as something that was hers to control and shape. She saw Samuel as a gift from God and an answer to prayer, and she was able to share that gift with the giver. Now, as you listen to this song that she has written today, consider it. Listen back through this or open your Bibles and read it back again, because there are some parallels that we're going to see when we finally get to David's song. And you'll have that deja vu feeling as you read his song as well. Hannah's song also reminds us of several aspects of God that we should spend some time dwelling on. In verse 2, she reminds us of God's holiness and strength. Those two thoughts were given together, not separately. Sometimes I think we picture holiness and see someone who's very calm, peaceful, perhaps with an aura around them. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, does the image of holiness in our minds look more like Gandhi or Schwarzenegger? Guess what? God is strong. He is the ultimate in strong and holiness. He is both. So neither Gandhi nor Schwarzenegger will fit that description. Only his son, the incarnate God, can. Verse 3 lets us know some of what Hannah went through at the hands of Penina, perhaps unseen by Elkanah, but never unseen by God. Nothing we do is in secret, folks, no matter how much we'd like to believe that. Our God sees it all. He sees the good, the bad, and the really ugly. Keep that in mind when you look at your own sin with complacency. He sees that sin too, and he doesn't view it with complacency. Keep that in mind too when you've spent the whole day doing those thankless tasks. The world may not even acknowledge what you did, but your Father sees and knows what you did, and it is only his approval that we should be seeking. Verses 4 through 5 remind us that God works contrary to our expectations sometimes. He knows what is best for us and will take care of us. Just remember that He may not act as you are expecting. He will work as He knows is best to bring about His will. Again, keep that in mind as we travel through 1 Samuel. We will see that what the people want or expect was not necessarily what they needed or what was best for them. Verse 4 is also Hannah speaking directly to her own situation. Penina, the other wife, was the one with a full quiver of children, but Hannah stumbled and then was armed with strength, not her own strength, but His strength. Verse 6 shows us that the Lord brings death and makes alive. In Hannah's womb, God has done both. He has brought life out of the dead, barrenness of her womb. She has experienced both death and life, and she is praising God for both. She appreciates that life more because she knows what it's like to be without it. Verses 9 through 10 reiterate that God protects His people, not by our strength, but by His strength we will prevail against our enemies. And keep in mind that our real enemy here is Satan. Even people who would persecute Christians are not our real enemy. Those people can be redeemed. We are told to pray for those who persecute us, remember? If you doubt it, remember Saul, who became Paul. Our real enemy is Satan and his work on this earth, not the imperfect people on this earth. God will judge the earth. There will be judgment, and God will do it, not me. It's not my job, it's His. He will see the hearts of men and know whether they chose Him or not. That isn't my call. And we have to remember as we face the trials of our days that those around us are truly not the enemy. When my husband hurts my feelings or my children make me want to pull my hair out with their disobedience, I sometimes have to stop and remind myself that they are not the enemy and stop myself from treating them as if they were. Verse 10 also speaks not only of an earthly king over Israel, but it's also applicable to Jesus the Messiah. God gave Jesus His strength and exalted Him to the highest place, reseated Him at the right hand of God. The journey that the Israelites, the Jews, took to the cross is one filled with glimpses of what God really wanted for them all and promises of a final solution through His Son's sacrifice. This whole song that she sings is praise for the good things and for the bad things, for poverty and wealth, for death and life, for strength and weakness. How can she praise God as she does such a hard thing, as she hands her son over to be raised in the temple? Verse 8 tells us, "For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them He has set the world." In other words, He is God. Hannah has learned that she can trust God in all circumstances, in plenty or in want. She knows personally that He will give strength to do the hard stuff, to endure the tormenting from the other wife, and to return your precious son to Him. She is reaffirming that she is relying on God for her strength, for her salvation, and for her joy. This whole book is a look at part of the journey Israel makes to the cross. They make some bad choices, and they make some good ones, while God remains unchanging throughout it all. He is constant, not tossed about like waves in the ocean. Look for more examples of His consistency as He deals with His beloved and imperfect children, and remember that He is still constant as He deals with us today. So my question for us today is this. Do you praise God for the hard things? Do you thank Him for making you weak so that His strength can shine through you? Do you trust that He is faithful to work everything together for His glory and for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose? Is He calling you to die to yourself in some area today so that He can shine in your weakness?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.